The Conservative Party seems to be acknowledging there that it hasn't done traditionally well in these areas and with these sections of the population. Do you think that almost can allow a certain degree of complacency with Labour, thinking, well, there's no alternative anyway, and we can bank on these votes, and therefore we don't need to actually deliver as much to these people because we now want to target another group of people?
No, I don't think the Labour Party is at all complacent with the ethnic minority votes or any other votes for that. And one of the things you pointed out earlier is that there has actually been some decline in support for the Labour Party from, say, 10, 15 years ago. And that had to do with the Iraq War, Afghanistan, anti-terror legislation. And the Labour Party is, you know, mindful of those things as well. And therefore, they need to regain and regain the trust of people to show that they're not sort of gung-ho on going and invading foreign countries.
And do you think that message has been taken on board, or do you think when it comes to foreign policy, we'll still see the same? Because in a way, the fact the mainstream parties, all three of them, when it comes to the wars, end up backing them, that actually Labour can afford to carry on.
No, I think Labour do understand the message. But you're right, in foreign policy, and something I've always maintained for many, many years, that when it comes to uniting foreign policies, the three parties tend to converge and agree on virtually everything. And that, to me, is regrettable. And I think you know in the past how vociferously I sort of argued against the Iraq War, even though it was my party taking us to this particular war. But I think the party is aware of it. But I think what it comes down to is I think a lot of people still are interested in what I call the bread and butter issues, which is, you know, jobs, health, education. And I think Andrew is somebody I have enormous amount of respect for, and I met him a number of times. We in fact went to Pakistan together as well on the old party, on a trip. But he's right in the sense that recently there was a debate on the European referendum last week in Parliament. Now, whatever your views may be about European being in and out of the European referendum, but some of the Conservative members of Parliament gave their reason for wanting to come out of the European Union was on the basis of the working time directive being introduced, equal pay legislation, or getting rid of the Human Rights Act. Now, for a lot of people, those are things why we should be in the European Union. And I think that message didn't sit well with a lot of ordinary working people who are trying to fight for their equal rights in the workplace, or, you know, part-time workers or women workers who are often part-timers, who want these benefits or who want these rights that have come from European Union. And yet there's all these Conservative members of Parliament standing up and so fighting against the European Union on the basis of working time directive or equal pay. So that's not going to really sit very well with a lot of voters who may be thinking, well, hang on, we want to vote for a party that's more, you know, progressive on these issues. And I think Andrew's absolutely right. I think the Conservative Party needs to come out and actually say, yes, we are, whilst we believe in free enterprise, we do need to have respect for workers. They need to have proper rights. They mustn't be treated shoddily, and we should not condone or accept the fact that workers should be treated in a bad way and sort of allow that state of play to occur.
Well, before I come back to Umar and a more detailed analysis of the findings, can I just get a response from Andrew to what Yasmin has just said?
Sorry, I only heard parts of that. I think that the Conservative Party do need to ensure that we are focusing on the big issues facing the country. And I believe, as a government, we are doing. That's why the government on things like the European vote said now is not the time very much for a referendum. I think that the party is making strides, both in Parliament, to put forward measures that are the kind of measures that ethnic minority communities would value. Certainly lifting over lower earners out of taxation, I think, is something very much ethnic minority communities would value. I think
that was something the Lib Dems put forward as part of the coalition deal. But would you agree that shedding the image of the nasty party is still quite a challenge? And perhaps there's a contradiction. On the one hand, we have multiculturalism being bashed by the Conservative leader, our Prime Minister. On the other hand, there are voices like yourself which seem to be appealing to ethnic minorities. Do you think there is a tussle within the party itself, and perhaps there are two different faces being presented?
Well, I think we have to get the balance right. I think the Conservative Party has made significant strides over recent years, and I think particularly Baroness Saeed Abbasi now being our party chairman, we've seen a real step change in the Conservative Party. It is fair to say, over recent years, you know, as a party, we have been too male, we've been too white, we've been too middle class. I think we've taken that on board, and we are starting to see diversity now among Conservative politicians, but we're also starting to see a real change in the kind of issues being addressed by the party that you wouldn't traditionally have expected to be addressed by our party.
Well, you mentioned Saoirse Varghese, and yes, she has been given a very senior position. Yet, when she raised the issue of discrimination against Muslims, and we are, after all, Islam Channel here on the programme at the moment, there was quite a silence when it came to David Cameron offering support on this very important issue.
Well, I don't think that's correct. I mean, during this Parliament, you've seen talk of forming and the initial steps of forming a all-party parliamentary group on tackling Islamophobia. You've seen various steps taken by government ministers to start addressing many of the problems that are raised by ethnic minority communities. It won't happen overnight, and there's a lot more work to be done here. But traditionally, the Conservative Party has struggled in reaching out and connecting and also getting our message across to certain communities. I think if you look at the values of the Conservative Party, pro-family values, pro-small business, there's not a lot there that actually many in ethnic minority communities would really value. I see most people as coming to this country, the overwhelming majority of immigrants to this country, is coming here to work hard and contribute to society. They want support for creating their own business, they want support for getting into employment, they don't necessarily want support for claiming benefits, and therefore, you know, I think the Conservative Party has an awful lot to offer to settled communities and immigrant communities into the UK.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can come back to Omar. We talk about ethnic minorities, but of course there's different communities within that one banding. And did you find that different groupings actually did vote differently? Did you see any differences, or was there a general trend which was very similar?
I mean, there was definitely differences in between how different groups voted. I mean, the general trend was quite stark. So in general, the big difference is between ethnic minorities and white British voters, just because the gaps are so large. Mm-hmm. But it is also true that 60% of Indians and Pakistanis voted Labour versus 87% of black Africans. So there's obviously even greater support amongst black Africans. And again, I think
that's quite a big gap.
Yeah, it is. It is a significant difference. I think the second thing is who is the second party that various groups support, for example. So amongst Pakistanis, actually, 25% voted Liberal Democrat and only around 13% voted Conservative. So Liberal Democrats are a clear second preference.
And what would you attribute to that to? Could that be because they did oppose the Iraq war, so they were seen as an alternative to Labour without having to go to Conservative, although the Afghanistan war is supported by all three?
Again, it's a little tricky to say from the data. The data can't tell you this is why someone voted that way. But if you look at 2005 general election and the sort of 20 seats with the highest Muslim populations, those saw much bigger swings away from Labour and towards the Liberal Democrats than you otherwise would have expected. I think one other thing that's worth noting here, of course, is that in this election, there was no Respect Party or Respect candidates really being fielded, and only about 2 or 3% got other votes, whereas in 2005, a significant chunk of the people who left Labour actually voted for other parties, Respect, and other groups as well. So it's hard to say from those data whether or not people are consistently voting Liberal Democrat. You know, what I mean is, were people voting Liberal Democrat in 2005 and more of them in 2010? Can they build on that base? Or whether or not that is just people voting Liberal Democrat as a second choice because they don't feel they have other options. But just to finish about...
We'll come back to the point about this difference. What do you attribute from what you can read into to the findings? The differences within the minorities themselves, you mentioned 87% of African Caribbean people voting Labour and perhaps 16 to 18% of Asian people. So it's not true that the Asian vote is there for Labour. It seems to be up for grabs between all three parties
in
that case.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough that it is more up for grabs. I mean, actually, I think it is quite difficult for both the Conservative and the Liberal Democrats. It appears that on a lot of the issues, as Andrew Stevenson indicated, that they're closer to ethnic minorities than how ethnic minorities vote. So, for example, on law and order, or even on tax and spend, the party that they agree with more looks like the party that they think the Conservative Party is. But that's not motivating them to vote. And we think part of the reason is just historic voter identification with party identification with the Labour Party. So around anywhere from 50 to 70% of these ethnic minority populations actually actively identify with the Labour Party. So it's 50% for Indians rising to 70% for black Africans. And as you can see, that's roughly the difference you're seeing in how they actually vote. So they're identifying, for whatever reason, with the Labour Party. We also think that, again, as both the MPs here have said today, that it's not simply about who you're feeling as a candidate. It is about the issues. And on unemployment and unemployment, those are issues that clearly seem to be a bit higher on the agenda, especially unemployment. More ethnic minorities said that unemployment was the biggest concern for them, 20%, compared to less than 10% of white British people. And we suspect that reflects the reality of the experience of black and minority ethnic people. And finally, I think in terms of talking about black voters being potentially even more likely, so black Caribbean and black African voters, I think there's at least two things there. One is that obviously the black African voters are more recent migrants. So there is some evidence also that migrants vote differently from British-born people. Mm-hmm. So that might partly explain that difference.
What about the settled?
Then the question is the settled. So it doesn't seem that that can explain everything. Black Caribbean and black African voters are more likely to express the fact that they've personally experienced discrimination. Also that in general, not just that they personally have experienced discrimination, but their group in general experiences discrimination in British society. So there seems to be a link between the likelihood that someone believes that, in general, there's societal discrimination against my group and propensity to vote Labour.
And so it seems, Yasmin, that there is this feeling, based on historical experience perhaps, that the Labour Party will stand up for you if you've been discriminated against. And do you think that would still stand? Do you think that memory will fade as people now associate New Labour with some of the things that they think are not so right about the Conservatives, or do you think that distinction can still be very clear?
I think the distinction is very clear, and I think it's because the first Race Discrimination Act or Equalities Act was brought in by a Labour government. Mm-hmm. It was a Labour government which has brought in virtually all of the equal pay, equal discrimination legislation. And of course, as Andrea said, historically there's been a lot more political representation from the Labour Party. You know, 600-700 councillors for last 20 odd years have come from the Labour Party. It was the first to have members of Parliament, in the members of the House of Lords. And even now, it's got the biggest bunch of members of ethnic minority MPs than any other political party. So, of course, not only is it in terms of legislation it passes that it helps equality, but also in real terms of people who represent the Labour Party, there's a lot more representation for ethnic minorities. And I think that goodwill, I suppose you could say, is going to be there for a while. But obviously, if the Labour Party sort of reneges on these things and doesn't talk about equality and doesn't really deal with discrimination, then it will also suffer as well. I don't think any party can take it for granted.
Quite difficult, or there seems to be less willingness from the mainstream parties to talk about discrimination. I mean, I put the question to Andrew earlier that there are these two faces within the mainstream. On the one hand, saying to ethnic minorities, we want you to be included, you know, we value your contribution. On the other hand, because there is this disaffection within the white working class community, that in order to reassure them, it seems to be pitting this argument that multiculturalism has been bad, which some people may view as a scapegoating type approach. So how do you reconcile that? And we've seen those two kind of voices coming out from the Labour Party as well.
Absolutely. There are people who in the Labour Party think that multiculturalism isn't right, and Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives. I think it's a shame, because I think the argument has been hijacked by the far right. And it is regrettable that politicians would be really afraid of this multiculturalism. There's nothing wrong with multiculturalism. And at the end of the day, as I keep saying, what, quote, and I hate using this, white working class people want, and what working class ethnic minorities want, the same thing. Yeah. And I think it is right, however, what I think is important is that a political party should not ignore any particular group of people. It needs to tackle the issue, and which is, to me, a bigger central issue, which is about poverty, which is about lack of opportunities for job. Those are important issues, and they're important issues for the white working class community, whether you're ethnic minority working class community. And these issues got to be addressed by all the political parties, and it's got to be addressed fairly quickly, because we've got a lot of problems occurring, especially in our inner cities and urban areas. And I think it's a big issue for all the parties to grapple.